Abby Vandenacker is going to come and read for us the scriptures in our hearing.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when we when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Abby. You will be moving shortly to Texas. She'll be going to Austin and will be taking up a position there in a hospital. And we, of course, will be wishing you the best. And trust that God will lead and direct your life as well in your work in nursing there in Austin. And Susan, thank you so much for that offering of worship to us and to God. And our desire is that we will see Christ in His Word. For the last several weeks, we've been focusing on the recovery of love. I've not had a theme that has so had an impact on my life as this theme has recently, as I am trying to rediscover and recover in my own life what it means to love. Now abides faith, hope, and love. Or these remain, the NIV says. But the greatest of these is love. Now, next Sunday, we're going to focus on the theme of love one another as Jesus gave that command. But today, I want to finish our focus, which we began last week, on the character of love. What will love look like in our lives? What form does love take? What's the nature or character of love? Now, Paul, in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, deals with three basic themes around the subject of love. He deals with the supremacy of love in verses 1 through 3, and it's very significant there. He says, if I do certain things, if I give my body to be burned, for instance, if I speak with the tongues of men, and he almost goes into this exaggerated statement, and even the tongues of angels. And he uses this form, if I have these things in my life, but do not have love, it is interesting, Paul does not say, then what I do amounts to nothing. He doesn't say that. He says, if I do certain things and I have not love, he says, then I am nothing. Not just what I do is nothing. It's that I myself am nothing. If love is not the supreme motive, the supreme goal, the supreme character of what I'm doing, if I don't have love, then I myself am nothing. That's quite a statement that he makes. Now, the truth is, none of us have the love that we should in anything that we do. I want this morning in preaching to love God and I want to love you. But I'm not able to in my own self. That's why I depend upon the righteousness of Christ and His love in order to even begin to be what I'm supposed to be. Though I'm not what I'm supposed to be. That's why Paul says in Romans 5 that the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God who Himself exists in this Trinitarian fire of love pours out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that love between the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. He pours it into us so that we might then learn to reflect back to God His love and learn to love one another in the character of love that He describes here. Our love is to reflect His love. Now, it's interesting, and I mentioned this last week and I thought more about it. Love here is put in the form of a verb, verses 4 through 7, which is the focus on the character of love. It's not just love is patient, as love does this in the sense of this is a characteristic of love. It's a verb form, and it says, we would translate it, love waits patiently continually. In other words, love shows itself in this action. These are action verbs. And these verbs always show themselves in a certain practice. Love is not just kind. Love always demonstrates kindness. That's what love does. Because love is an action. Now, we hear this, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that one of the things we have to overcome in looking at the concept of biblical love is the idea of sentimentalism. And even the idea of romanticism. Because that's what we immediately are trained in our culture to think of. Sentimental love or even romantic love. Oftentimes I hear this, especially in marriages that are coming apart or unraveling. Someone may say, I've lost my feelings for my husband or for my wife. I don't know if I love them anymore. And when that's said, the move in their thinking is usually in this manner. I guess our marriage is coming apart because I don't feel this love anymore. And maybe because I don't feel love, maybe I don't love him anymore. And maybe it's time we go our separate ways. That is a worldly view of love, not a biblical view of love. The focus is on my feelings. And if I don't have those feelings, then maybe it's over with. I have heard, and you have heard, more people justify their leaving a marriage based on these words, I just don't love them anymore. What's the answer to that? The answer is, if you don't feel love, then start showing love. Start demonstrating love. start practicing love and acting in love. Asking Christ to fill your heart with His love so that you might be able to show love as He loves you. See, we live in a romantic view and a sentimental view of love that says, if I don't have the feelings, then it's over with. No need to pursue it any further. But love is an activity. It's a verb. We're called to love by action. And then, by the grace of God, He restores that passion or that feeling or that romance in a marriage. Some of you may have heard of Walter and Ingrid Trobisch. Walter and Ingrid Trobisch were missionaries to India. They were counselors. They have both passed away. I read their books when I was in college, and they were life-changing. She wrote a little book called The Joy of Being a Woman, which was just fascinating. And he wrote a book called I Loved a Girl. His letters to a young man in Africa who was contemplating marriage. And he deals with the very nature and character of love. He later wrote a little book that sort of summarizes it. He says, love is a feeling to be learned. Love is a feeling to be learned. I love that little phrase because, of course, love involves passion. Of course, love involves emotion. Of course, love involves affection and devotion. And we want to feel those things deeply in love. But he says, love has to be learned. Love has to be studied. Love has to be acted upon. Love has to be focused on. There's an intention for that. And the reason for that, and I have to repeat this, we said it several weeks ago, love is covenant love in Scripture. That's the key. It's covenant love. That's why love is commanded in Scripture. Now, it took me a while to learn this several years ago. Love is commanded. We find that a little offensive to our sentimental understanding of love, that you could command someone to love. And we would say, you can't command anyone to love. They've got to feel it. Well, God says in Scripture in Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. We're commanded to love God. We're then commanded to love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are commands. We find in Ephesians chapter 5 this phrase, husbands, if you feel like it today, love your wife. Is that what the passage says? It says, husbands, love your wives. That's a command. We are commanded to love. Why is that the case? Because it's a covenantal responsibility. It's covenant love. It's not centered on develop these feelings. And if you have these feelings, then you may love. No, the feelings come as we practice the love. I very rarely ever feel like praying. And very rarely do you feel like praying. But you know, I still have to pray every day. And as we pray, the warmth and passion begins to grow in prayer. The same thing's true in love. We are called to love. We are commanded to love. Now, I don't want to let the wives off the hook, because Paul says in Titus 2:4, and I will never forget the first time someone said to me this. They said, well, the Bible never tells wives to love their husbands. Well, yes, it does. In Titus 2:4, Paul says to teach the younger women to love their children and to love their husbands. We are commanded to love one another in marriage, in the family, among friends. And here's a concept that I've shared with you on other occasions. Friendship is primarily a covenantal theme. It's a covenantal concept. Friendship is a bond that is formed covenantally. So we're to love one another. We're to love friends. And we will see next week, we're even commanded to love our enemies. That's the hardest one of all. Love your enemies. Now, this is what Christ is calling us to. And this love takes on a particular character here. We looked at it last week, particularly in terms of its patience, its kindness. It's not burning with envy. Love does not burn within me our envy, our resentment. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. It's not inflated with a sense of its own importance. But look with me again at verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13. And I can just mention these very briefly. Love is not rude. Well, that's a simple way of putting it in our translations. It's accurate, of course, but it carries with it this larger theme. It does not act in an unbecoming manner toward another. Love does not act in an unbecoming manner. It is not inappropriate in its response to another. Love does not seek to dishonor another. And the tone of this verse carries with it the idea of sexual sin. Do not dishonor another. Do not act unbecoming to them. And of course that carries with it the idea of manners. Do not be rude. But he's talking about more than, for instance, table manners. He's talking about how love practices its relationships with others in that it does not dishonor them. It does not defraud them. It does not act in a way unbecoming to them. That's the nature of love. He goes on to say, it is not self-seeking. Love does not seek to position itself for its own advantage or its own interest or its own agenda. We've often heard this phrase, well, they have a hidden agenda. Love doesn't have hidden agendas. It's transparent. It's honest. It's truthful. He goes on to then say, love is not easily angered. This is very significant here because Paul has already used a term that carries with it the idea of this. And the very first one, love waits patiently. Our love is patient. We pointed out that it carries with it the idea that love is not short-tempered. Someone says, I've got a short fuse. Well, if we've got a short fuse, then we are not loving. See, remember what we said, Paul said, if I have not love, then I am nothing. We like to say, well, I'm a good person, but. No, we don't have love. We're nothing in the category of love if we have a short temper. Paul then goes on to say here, is not easily angered. How many times have we heard this? Particularly, it happens in the home, but it happens in relationships with one another. Will he or she provoke me? That's a good excuse, isn't it? I wouldn't have gotten angry if you hadn't provoked me. But the passage says here, love is not easily provoked. Love is not easily exasperated. You see, the issue is, I am responsible for my reaction to anyone. And if I give an outburst, if someone gives an outburst of anger to me, I am responsible not to respond in kind by another outburst of anger. Because love is not easily provoked. Tony Thistleton is a Church of England scholar and priest. He teaches in England. And I love what he said on this. He said, many churches, and then he added, and theological schools. Many churches and many theological schools contain people, and he's writing in light of the problem at Corinth, who parade their gifts and nurse their hurts. They parade their gifts and they nurse their hurts. Wallace Chappell used to say this, and I will never forget it. He said, have you ever noticed people never get angry, they just get hurt? They never get angry. They just get hurt. Because hurt covers pretty much any reaction I want to give. The next statement is unbelievable. Paul says, it keeps no record of wrongs. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we're keeping mental lists, if not literal written lists, of what people have done wrong to us. And when we do that, we store up grievances, we hold grudges, and we hold in memory that which was wrongly done to us. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And then he says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It's interesting that Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 said, speak the truth in love. You know, we can speak the truth and we can do it the wrong way. We can speak the truth, but we can use the wrong tone. Speak the truth in love. Because when we're speaking the truth and not doing it in love, we're wounding and using the truth as a weapon. If we speak in love and don't speak the truth, we've become mushy and sentimental. Paul here says love delights in the truth. And he brings together these twin themes of love and truth. It does not delight in evil. Now, Dan, you may have to help me with the pronunciation. I've never asked anyone who knew German. And you, Dan spent this summer learning German. And so he's going to spend the next 5 years teaching me German. Schadenfreude. Is that how it's pronounced, or Schadenfreude? Schadenfreude? He says maybe. The southern pronunciation is Schadenfreude, or Schadenfreude, or whatever. But it carries with it the idea that I find delight in the misery, the downfall, the harm of another person. Have you ever secretly heard some bad news about someone and just in the secret recesses of your heart felt a little delight that you heard about their problem or their downfall or their harm? When we do that, we're not experiencing or learning love. Proverbs 24 says, "Rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turns away his wrath from him." Love does not rejoice when even our enemy falls, because love knows then that truth has not triumphed. This is the character of love. And then he ends up by saying, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, because love never fails. There's more we could say about each one of those terms, but the point is, love does not fail. It endures. It continues. He uses the word which carries the concept. It protects. It's gracious. It's generous in its thoughts. It doesn't pull out its little list and say, let me check that off again. Did you notice that? Because it's not keeping a record of wrongs. Love is magnanimous in its display. It's generous in its graciousness. It's pleasing in its very patience with others. Love never fails. That's why the greatest of these is love. And that's why Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love to us that we cannot even measure. We cannot even begin to comprehend the height and depth and length and breadth of your love that you have revealed in Christ Jesus. It is a love that has brought us to yourself, a love that has been known from all eternity. And we are grateful that you have set your love upon us in order that we might know your love and manifest your love to one another. Now, we are aware too keenly at times of where we failed to love. And we would ask your forgiveness again for our failure to love. And we pray that you would renew within us the character of love, so that love would not fail in our lives. And we pray that you would shower us with your love this day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.